Okay, good morning. Thank you very, very much for coming. Today we begin a new Masechta, Masechet Avodah Zarah.
What an honor it is to start it with you again.
Oh no, it's our honor to start with you. Masechet Avodah Zarah, like the name implies, is the tractate about idol worship, about paganism. This is perhaps the most important mitzvah of the Torah. It's the first of the Ten Commandments where God declares, I am God, your Lord, who took you out of Egypt. And then the second of the Ten Commandments, do not have any other gods before me. So it's a very, very basic principle not to worship idols. And this Masechta, unfortunately, is a Masechta that was not studied for many years. Because of reasons of national security, Jews lived in Christian Europe. And to talk about Avodah Zarah, to talk about idolatry in Catholic societies was dangerous. Because the Catholics said, hey, you think we're idolaters? And the Catholics would then come and kill the Jews. So there are lots of mistakes in the text of this Gemara. And it's a Masechta that was neglected because of the dangers living in Christian Europe to study this Masechta. As we'll see, it's a big challenge. How do you resolve living in Christian Europe with the laws that the Halacha sets out for how Jews are supposed to interact with Avodah Zarah, with idolatry? So let's start with the first Mishnah. The first Mishnah teaches us that not only is a Jew not allowed to worship idols. So that is, a Jew can't go into a church and donate some offering to the altar there in the church, some incense or anything of the sort, be part of their services, or go to India and meet a business friend in India. He says, oh, come with me to the church, let's go do some offerings for some of the Hindu gods that they have out there. A Jew certainly can't do that, but besides not actually worshiping idols himself, he cannot even do things that will cause the non-Jew to worship idols, or that will increase the amount of worship of the non-Jew. We're going to see there are two explanations for this Mishnah, but that's one explanation of this Mishnah. So the Mishnah begins like this. Lifnei Eidein shel Ovdei Kochavim. So, one of the other things we'll see a lot is that when it comes to idolatry, we make up names we don't say the name itself. So instead of saying, when I went to yeshiva, instead of saying Christmas, they used to say Kratzmach, which literally means scratch match. So when the non-Jewish teachers heard it, they weren't so happy to hear that. But that was done by the kids in the yeshiva because we make up names to insult the idolatry, that it's not a god, and the opposite. You know, we are treating it with disdain. So here the Mishnah made up a name. Instead of saying Lifnei Chageihem, before their holidays, it makes up a name. It says Lifnei Eidehen. Now we're going to see Eidehen can mean all sorts of things. It can mean before their horror show, before their testimony, before their collapse. But it's a name that's a made-up name to make up, to mock their holiday. So before their holiday, Shlosha Yamim, 3 days before the holiday, Asur Lases velateti mahen. We're not allowed to give and take with them, to take money from them and to give them in return an object. Why? So Rashi explains, with one of the reasons that the Gemara will give. Rashi says that we know that on their holiday they're going to go to their church. And they're going to be in their church celebrating their holiday. So if a day or two before the holiday they came to me and I gave them an item that they really wanted, even if they paid for it, but it's an item that they really wanted, come the holiday, they'll have another reason to be thankful. They're going to say, thank you for giving me life to this point, and then they'll say to the Avodah Zarah, oh, and I'm so thankful because of this great deal that I made. So then I, the businessman, will have caused them to increase their ritual worship. And the prohibition of Avodah Zarah is not just that I can't worship idols, not just that the non-Jews shouldn't be worshiping idols. I, as a Jew, cannot do things that will increase their amount of worship of idols. It'll make them more thankful when they worship the idol. So within 3 days of their holiday, no giving and taking with them, no lahash ilan, no lending to them, no lish'ol mehen, no borrowing from them. That's to borrow an object to give it back, like an ox. No lehalvotan, no lending of them money, to them money. No lilvos mehen, not borrowing money from them. Because again, if you borrow money from them, they're going to be happy. Come their holiday, they'll say, oh, you know, I have a loan outstanding to the Jew, I'm going to make money. One second. Not lefor'ah, not to pay back their loans, nor lefro'ah mehen, nor to collect their loan back from them. So Rabbi Yehuda said, no, nefro'ah mehen, you can go to them before the holiday and get them to pay you back a loan. Who likes paying back a loan? Nobody's happy about paying back a loan. So the whole point is, don't do things that are going to make them happier on their holiday, that makes them thank their God more. But getting them to pay back a loan, that's upsetting to them. Amru lo, the sages said back to Yehuda, no, yeah, in the immediate term, he's upset that he has to pay. But in the long term, he's very happy. Oh, I got the loan paid off. So that's why don't even collect a loan from them within 3 days of their holiday. Now, David, a question. Yeah.
In the previous different examples, we were talking about direct and indirect causes. The logic was
correct.
Because it's indirect, so it's the right
cause. Right, that's right.
This is an indirect
cause. Very good.
In this instance, it's not.
Very good, that's right. This is an indirect cause. And even though it's an indirect cause, this is apparently, I think the simplest way of understanding it, although this is a dispute, the simplest way of understanding is that this is a rabbinic law. The rabbis created fences, they add to the laws of the Torah, and one of the laws that the rabbis added was stay away from helping idolatry. So not only is there the Torah law that you're not allowed to worship idols, you cannot even indirectly cause the non-Jew to be more happy on his festival. So therefore, 3 days before his festival, 3 days before his festival, you can't do business with them, you can't lend things to them, you can't lend money to them, you can't pay back a loan to them, you can't demand them to pay back a loan to you. Rabbi Yehuda thinks you can get them to pay a loan to you because that's not going to make them happier. And the Chachamim disagree. Now, I just want to point out, there's a very important Tosos here, this big Tosos. Aser lasis v'latet imayim. So Tosos says, but what about what we do? We don't do this. We do business with non-Jews 3 days before their holiday. In fact, Tosos points out, living in Christian Europe, their holiday is every week. It's Sunday. So it's 3 days before Sunday and Sunday, no business. So I mean, that's not what's happening. All the Jews are doing business. They're doing business on Sunday too. So what's going on? So Tosfos struggles with this problem. He gives a variety of answers. One answer that he gives is maybe the Mishnah is not saying you can't do business. It's just saying you can't do business with stuff that they need in their service. You can't sell them wine, animals, wafers, things that they're going to use in their service near the holiday. But other things you can sell. That's one idea Tosfos has. Another idea Tosfos has is maybe this is a rabbinic law, and you know, if we would keep it, they would hate us a lot, and it would be a little bit a little bit dangerous. So to keep better relations, we basically ignore the rabbinic law, and we sell to them. Another answer Tosfos gives is that maybe the Christians are not really idol worshippers. Then he says back, well, maybe our Christians aren't idol worshippers. Maybe if the Christian comes and says, I need money for the church, that is idol worship. Then he said, Rabbi Elchanan said, even that's okay. Because maybe they're not really idol worshippers. So this is a problem. You see in the Tosfos, all these answers, whenever you have a lot of answers to a question, that means you're struggling. So the fact it was done, and the Mishnah says don't do it, but it's very widely done. So the Tosfos struggles to try to come up with answers how to resolve that issue.
Is there a Avodah Zarah component or no?
No, no. This is no. Avodah Zarah is Avodah Zarah everywhere. Okay, again, the Mishnah said 3 days before Eidei Hen. So that's some type of a mocking nickname. So Rav and Shmuel have an argument. Chad Tani, one, his version was Eidei Hen with an aleph. The Chad Tani, the other one, his version of this holiday nickname was Eidei Hen, their testimonies. So Madatana Eidei Hen lo mishtabish. The Mishnah, the Gemara says, if you're going to say it Eidei Hen with an aleph, that's not wrong. It's a good source for that. Manditani Edehen, if your version of the Mishnah is Edehen with an I, and also their testimony is also lo mishtabish, it's not wrong. So Manditani Edehen lo mishtabish, if your version here of how to make fun of their holidays is to call it an aid, as a nightmare with an aleph, it's not wrong. You'll see, because there's a verse that says, Ki karov yom edam, for their day of destruction is coming close. So edam, their destruction is aleph yud dalet mem. So you can call it Edehem, you know, their holiday of destruction, their holiday of oblivion. Ma'adatani Edehem, if you're going to read it as with an ayin, that's your version, Edehem, lo mishtabish, it's also not wrong. Because the verse says, the prophet Yeshayahu, the prophet Isaiah, is criticizing the nations of the world. He says to the nations of the world, where do you guys have people who've made predictions and then the predictions came true? You know, it's not like us. You know, with us, we have in the Torah says you'll get to the land of Israel if you won't keep the laws of God, you're going to be expelled from the land of Israel. And it happened. It came true. It's in Parshas Bechukotai, and then it came true. We can say, look back to the predictions, and the predictions then came true. He says, you know, who amongst you, the non-Jews, is going to give your testimonies that were in the past and then show us that they came true? So, Yitnu Edehem V'Yitztaku, let them give forth their testimonies and show that they've become righteous, that they were in fact fulfilled. So you see that Edehem with an ayin is testimonies. That works with idolatry. That works with idolatry as well. That it's a testimony against the people who worship it. So, Ma'adatani Edehem, my time lo tani Edehem. Now, if you want to say, if the version was with an aleph, Edehem, why didn't he want to say the version with an ayin, Edehem? Amalachasi will tell you like this. Tavra Adif, I'd rather use a term that implies destruction and annihilation. So I'd rather say Edehem, the holiday of their destruction, because I want to put down their religion and imply that their religion is going to be wiped out. It's going to disappear. We're going to get back to monotheism. The one who read it as with an ayin, Edehen, that's what he calls their holiday, their testimonies. He doesn't call it their nightmares. Why? Amlachas, he'll tell you, man kagarim luhu tavr, what's going to cause them to be destroyed? Edus, testimony. What? What testimony? Sheidu ba'atzman, that the idols are going to testify about them. The idols are going to say, These fellows, they worship me. So the idols testifying about what was done, that is the testimony. It's going to cause them their destruction. Hilchos Edus Adifa. That's why better to talk about the testimony. That's why I call them testimonies. So now the Gemara says,
how does the sentence make sense? Before their testimonies, 3 days of a holiday?
No, the holiday is called testimonies because the holidays is what testifies.
And the 8 days of holiday.
The holiday itself. That's right. The holiday is the testimony about their destruction. Great. Okay, so we are here on Daf Beis Amud Aleph. Ask the Gemara. V'ha yitnu edeyem v'yitztaku bov de kochavim ksiv. Now this pasuk, their testimonies, is that about idolatry? It's Yeshayahu Navi talking about the Jewish people. Habi Yisrael ksiv. It's about the Jewish people. Da'amar Rabbi Yeshua Levi, Rabbi Yeshua Levi said, all the good deeds that the Jews do in this world, that's what's going to come and testify for the Jews. All the times you put on tefillin, all the times you learn Torah, that's all going to come up in front of heaven and vouch for you and say, oh, this is a good guy, look at what he did. That's what it's referring to. Right? That's Yitnu Edehem. They will give their testimonies and they'll be righteous. It's not about the non-Jews. Shenamar, as it says, Yitnu Edehem v'yitztaku. They'll give their testimonies and they'll be righteous. Elu Yisrael, that's a reference to the Jewish people. Going back to that verse, the verse says, Yishmu'u v'yomru emes, they will hear and they will say, it's true. Elu of the kochavim, that's the non-Jews. The non-Jews are going to say, yeah, it's true. Well, the Jews did all these great things and they deserve all these wonderful rewards. They'll say it's true. So, how could this pasuk be the source for the mocking of idolatry by calling it testimonies? The pasuk is referring about positive testimonies of the Jews. The one who calls the idolatrous holidays their testimonies, it's from this verse. Yotzrei Pesa, those who form the idols, also in Isaiah. Kulam Tohu, all of them are nothingness. And the things that they love, Baal Yo'ilu, they won't help them. And that's their testimonies. That's a testimony. It's a testimony that's going to hurt them. The idols are going to come and testify, hey, we did all, you non-Jews did this and this. Yeah, right. Izzy, can we get you anything?
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so Darash Rab Chanina Bar Papa. So now we have a whole series of Agaditza for a couple of pages. Talking about testimonies, doing good, doing bad, the non-Jews doing bad, the Jews doing good. Darash Rab Chanina Bar Papa, Vitem Rab Simlai. Rab Chanina Bar Papa taught, some say it was Rab Simlai who taught. Lasid Lavo in the future, maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sefer Torah. God is going to bring a Torah scroll. Umanicho b'cheiko, and put it in his lap. He's going to sit down with the Torah scroll in his lap. Bo'omer, he's going to say, Lemisha Sakba, anyone who is involved in this, Yavo v'yitol scharo, he can come and take his reward. Miyad miskaptin uvoin ovde kocham b'erbuvya. Immediately they will gather and come in a big mess, all the different nations. You'll have the Turks and the Italians and the Germans and the Brits and the French and the Russians and the Koreans and the Chinese and the Japanese. And they're all going to be one big babel. Shanema, that's what the verse says, Kol ha'gayim nikbetzu yachdav, all the nations have gathered together. Amalem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so God says to them, Al tikansu lufanei b'erbuvya. You know what, I don't like it. I don't want you to come in this big mess, this United Nations. El tikanes kol uma v'uma v'sofreal. You know what, let's have it, each nation and nation with its wise men. With its men of letters, let's have the Brits come, led by the British professors, and then the French come with the French professors. Let every group come with their leaders, and let me hear what your complaints are. Okay, Shenemar, that's what the verse goes on to say. Now in Beis and Beis. V'yeyasfu l'umim, and let the nationalities gather. A nationality means with its king. Shenemar, it says about Yaakov with Esav, one kingdom will be stronger from the other kingdom. In other words, if the Jews collapse, the Romans take all that over. If the Romans collapse, the Jews take that over. So, okay, that's the story. So now the Gemara talks about a question about this story. Is there anything confused in front of God? I mean, God knows who's who. What does it matter that it's a mess? God doesn't want them to be mixed up with each other. Because then the Brits are going to hear what God tells the French. And the French are going to hear what God had told the Russians. And they'll all be disappointed. And God wants to give, and they'll have things to say, but they won't want to say it because, you know what, God already shot down the request of the French. He's going to shoot down our request too. So God says, you know what, one by one, let's hear your case. Let's hear the French case. Let's hear the British case. Let's hear the Roman case. One by one. That way, you didn't hear how I rejected the other one. And you weren't, you know, too intimidated to say your piece. Everybody was able to say their piece, and you'll all be rejected. So what's their piece? What are they all going to say? So it's going to work like this. They're going to go in one by one. Me'ad nichlas alofana malchus romi tchila. The first one in to talk to God when Mashiach's going to come is going to be the Romans. My time, why? Mishum dechashiva. Because they are the most prominent. Minalan dechashiva. How do we know that the Romans are the most prominent? Dechsiv, because it says about the Romans that when Daniel had his dream about four animals representing the four nationalities. The fourth animal was the fourth kingdom, which is the most powerful of the nationalities. V'teyochul kol arash, she's going to destroy, she'll consume the whole land. U'tedushnei u'tedikney, and she will rule over it, she'll thresh it, and she'll grind it down. Fourth animal. Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said, Zuromi. That's a reference to the Romans. Shetiva yatsa b'chol ha'olam. Her reputation is spread throughout the whole world. Alright. So they are the most powerful. They conquer the whole world. So they come in to talk to God first when Mashiach comes. How do we know that the most powerful, the most prominent is the one who comes in first? Because Rav Chizda, that's like what we learned from Rav Chizda. Rav Chizda tells us back in Masechta Rosh Hashanah, on Rosh Hashanah, everybody gets judged. Melech v'tzibur, when there is a king who has to be judged, and a community. Melech nichnas chiladin, first the king is judged. Shenemar, as it says, lasos v'shpat avdo, he's going to do the judgment of his slave. And then, u'mishpat am Yisrael, the judgment for his nation Israel. The time of Mai, Why does the king get judged first? Either it's just not respectful to have a king sitting outside waiting for the others to clear the courtroom. Or alternatively, before God is in a bad mood. Because if God's going to first judge us, so he'll see my sin and your sin and he'll get all upset, then the king, so he'll be, you know, trigger happy, chas v'shalom, with the king. It'll be easier to be upset with the king. So we want the king to be preserved. Let him go in first, when God's still, you know, happy, the beginning of the morning, and then the rest of the people can come in. Okay, so that's, we see that the king, the most prominent, goes in first. Okay, so the most prominent in the next world is going to, of the nations, is going to be the Romans. The Romans go in first. Amalam HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so God's going to say to them, remember, God is sitting, holding a Torah scroll, and saying, anyone who's done this gets rewards. He's going to say to the Romans, okay, what's your claim? Why do you think you've done this? Why do you think you get reward? So the Romans say, hey, Ribono Shalolo, master of the world, look at what we did. Harbe Shvakim Taknina, we made many markets. Remember the Cardo? Harbe Merchatzos Asinu, we made many bathhouses. Harbe Kesev Izavir Binu, we minted lots of silver, lots of gold, we did lots of business. The Kulam Lo Asinu El Bishvu Yisrael Kadesh Yisasku Batoro. All these things we did for the Jewish people, so that they'll be able to learn Torah. So all their Torah that they learned is all our credit. So we get reward in the world to come. Amalam HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says back, Shotim Sheba Olam, you fools of the world. You didn't do for the Jews. Whatever you did for yourselves. Tikantem shvakim, you wanted markets, loshev bem zonos, to have lots of prostitutes there. Merchatzos, you made bathhouses, so that you'll fatten yourselves up, make yourselves feel good. And kesev azav, the gold, the economy, shaliu, it's all mine. Shenem, aliyah kesev liyazav, num Hashem tzvakos, all of silver and gold is mine, says God, the Lord of all hosts. And then the verse continues, Klum yesh bachem magid zos? Do you have amongst you anyone who says this? In other words, who knows the Torah? Shenamar, as it says about the Torah, Mi bachem yagid zos vein zos ala Torah, Torah, this is Torah, as we say whenever we do Hagbah, v'zos ha-Torah, asher sam Moshe. And this, it's the Torah that Moshe placed in front of the Jewish people. So miyad, right away, they go out, Yatsu b'pachei nefesh, they go out all disappointed and dejected. It's an interesting question, right? We'll see. The Gemara is going to deal with that a little bit. It talks about the Shiva Mitzvah of Noach. But apparently the reward of the next world is only for those who have Torah. So they're going to claim that they do have the merit of Torah because all their things have helped Torah, and ultimately maybe God enabled them to succeed in those things in order to help Torah. And God says, that's very nice, but that wasn't your intention. Your intention was something else. You don't get credit for it.
So Rabbi, you mentioned the first question they asked in
Shamayim. Is about Torah. That's right. That's right. That's very things about Torah. Right? So it's connected to Torah.
Want to step out for the next
yeah, what was that?
They claimed that they assisted.
Correct. That's right. But even that... they don't have because they did it for themselves.
You should go to the bathroom now.
So Yatsu Malchus Romi.
Izzy, come on. You ready?
So the Romans walk out. Nichnasa Malchus Paras Achrea. Then after the Romans come the Persians, the Iranians. Parsim. My time, why do the Persians? The Hashiva Basra. Because they are the most prominent of the nations after the Romans. But we know, and how do we know that the Persians are so prominent? Because the verse says, again in the book of Daniel, and there was another animal, wild animal, a second one, which looked like a bear. Tani Rav Yosef, said, Parsim, that's the Persians. Ochlin v'shosin kadov, they have no manners. They eat and drink like bears. Mesur Valim, they're very fat, kadov like the bears. Megadlin Seyar kadov, they grow hair like the bears. They don't know how to sleep. They never rest. They're always fidgety, like the bears. So God says to the Persians, all right, but my asakta, what's your claim to get reward? So they say similar claims. Ribono shel olam, master of the world. Harbik sharm kasharna, we made many bridges. Harbik krachim kavashna, we conquered lots of cities. Harbik milchamos asinu, we made many wars. V'kulam lo asinu, ala bishvil Yisrael, k'nish yisaska b'torah. All these things we did were so that the Jews should learn Torah. So God says to the Persians, first of all, it's not true. Whatever you did for yourselves. You made bridges to take tolls. Krachim lasas ben angaria. You conquered cities to be able to draft the people into your labors to work in the palaces. Milchamos in the wars. The same way the Romans said we made money. You know, when I said I am the money, God says liyak hazav liyazav. Wars. Ani asisi. I make the wars. Shenamas. It says Hashem ish milchama. God is the man of war. Klum yesh b'chem magid zos. Do you have any amongst you who can say some Torah? Shenamas. It says mi b'chem. Who amongst you yagid zos will explain this? Ain zos la Torah. Zos is Torah. Shenamas. It says vizos. What is zos? Hatorah. Shor sam Moshe. The Torah that Moshe placed. Miyad yatzu b'palchei nefesh. So they're going to go out disappointed. So now, so it's true. They didn't go in together. They didn't hear together God shoot down the Roman proposal. But still, the Persians went in after the Romans. They saw that the Romans were not happy. So why are they going in? Once they see that the Romans, their claims are not going to work, why are they going in? My time, Eile, why did they even go in? So the answer is like this. Everybody gives a rationalization. They say like this. Inu sashi v'samikdash. The Romans, they destroyed the temple. That's why God's not giving them reward. Anan benina, but we're the Persians. We built the temple. We're Koresh. We built the second temple. But God's not going to give them reward either. Mm-hmm. And this is going to go on with each nation. V'chein l'chal uma v'uma. Every nation's going to come in. Every nation's going to be shut down. My time, Eile. These other nations, they see that it didn't work for the Romans and the Persians. So why are the Brits going to go in? You know, they're going to say, you know, we did the Balfour Declaration. God's going to say, no, but mi b'chem yagid zos. You don't have learning Torah. So Savi, so they're going to think like this. Hana chishtadu b'Yisrael. The others, they enslaved the Jews. Hana lo shiabadu b'Yisrael. We didn't enslave the Jews, so we're going to get reward. But, well, not. Ma'ishnahani d'chashivi, ma'ishnahani d'lo chashivi. Why are the Romans and Persians considered so prominent? And the other nations are not considered as prominent. Because the Romans and Persians, they're going to have kingdoms until Mashiach comes. Until Mashiach comes, there's going to be Christendom, and there's going to be Iran. Until Mashiach comes. So the nations are going to say before God, Ribono Shel Olam, Master of the World, you tell us that we can't get reward because we don't know Torah. Did you give it to us? The low key blaunu, and we didn't fulfill it. It's like Mara says, "What? That's a claim." Can they say, "Did you give it to us?" God did give it to them. He offered Torah to everybody before He gave it to us. That's what the verse says in Parshat Hazinu. Vayomer, the verse says, "Hashem is Sinai bav zarach mi seir lamo." God appeared from Sinai. He illuminated. Actually, I think it's Vizos Abrach already. And He illuminated from Seir. What do you mean He's illuminated from Seir? See, the verse says in Habakkuk, Elokami Teman Yavo, God will come from Yemen. My boy Beseir, my boy Beparan, what's he doing in Paran, in Arabia? What's he doing in Seir, in Jordan? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Malamet Sheikh Zira Kadosh Baruch Hu Kaluma V'Lashon Lo Kibluha. God offered the Torah to every nation. Do you want it? And they said no. Ad Shabbat Yitzel Yisrael, and He offered it to the Jews, the Kibluha, then they accepted it. So what's the claim of the nations? Elachi Yam, this is what the nations are going to say. Klum Kibal Nuha V'Lo Kiyam Nuha. Did we accept it and not fulfill it? So Gemara says, "Well, that's of our tanun, but that's exactly what's going to smash them." Am I lucky about it? Why didn't you accept the Torah? Elakachom lefan. This is what they're going to say. God, you know, it's not really fair. Ribono shel olam, Master of the World, klum kafis aleinu hakikigis v'loki lenuah. Did you take the mountain and put it over us to force us, and we didn't accept? You know, you did that to the Jews. Moshe asit liyisrael. You did it for the Jews. Why yisyatsu b'tachas har? They stood under the mountain. Am ravdimi bar chama malamet shakafa kadosh baruch hu hakikigis al yisrael. God took the mountain over the Jews like a bin. Like an overturned barrel, Varmalam said to me, Matem Kabmus Torah Mutav, if you accept the Torah, great. Vimlab, but if not, Sham take for us when you're gonna be buried under this mountain. So Yad Amalam Kadosh Baruch Hu. So God says, you know what? I can't have forced you to accept the Torah because you didn't do a good job with the Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Noach. Harishonos Yashmi Unu, the first mitzvahs you were given, they will prove your guilt. Shanamas it says, Harishonos Yashmi Unu, and the first ones will inform us. In other words, Sheva Mitzvah Shekibaltim, the first seven mitzvahs, that you did accept them. Noach accepted them. Hechen Kiyamta, did you fulfill them? Where did you fulfill them? So Gemara says, Minon Delo Kimum, how do we know that we didn't, that they didn't fulfill the seven mitzvahs? The Tani Rav Yosef said, Aman Vayimodid Aretz Ra Vayater Goyim, he stood and he measured the ground, he permitted the nations. My Ra, what does it mean? He saw Ra Sheva Mitzvah Shekibul Olim B'nei Noach Lo Kimum. God saw that the seven mitzvahs were accepted by the non-Jews, but they didn't fulfill them. Since they weren't fulfilling them, he he permitted it to them, as the Gemara will explain, that they don't get reward as someone who's commanded to fulfill them, even if they do to them. Okay, we're going to say a Kaddish Drabanan. Rabbi Hananya ben Akashi Omer, Ratzah Kaddish Baruch Hu L'Zakas.